It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Neppe. Things are a little bit different this summer, but it's still a great time to explore and learn new things. That's why every Tuesday, all summer long, we're going to Talk of Iowa Summer Camp. Today is Journalism Camp. And whether you're interested in print, video, podcasting, or all three, we've got some great ideas for you this hour. We're going to start with two young women in Iowa City who started their own neighborhood newspaper when the pandemic struck. Tommy June Simmons and Joanna Galuzzo are both going to be eighth graders at Southeast Junior High in Iowa City this fall. Together, along with some help from a neighbor, they created the Northside News, an online newspaper featuring neighborhood news, profiles of neighbors, profiles of pets, recipes, and a lot of other fun stuff. Tommy June, hello.
Hi.
And Joanna, hello to you.
Hi, thanks for asking us to be here.
Well, thank you both so much for being here. And Tommy June, I'll let you go first. How did this get started?
Well, our neighbor Pooja, who lives down the street, first had the idea for us. And she said, why don't you just put together a newspaper or a newsletter to keep the community together and started. And then we just branched out and now we're here.
All right. So that seems like a pretty tall order. Why don't you just put together a newspaper? Joanna, how did you react to the idea?
I thought it would be something fun to do while we were home from school.
Yeah. Were you guys a little bit bored at that point?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in putting together a newspaper, Joanna, how did you decide what it would be about?
I asked some people and to see what's going on and thought if it was interesting and it would be good to put in the news, and if anyone would want to add something to it, we would ask them.
All right, so you started talking to a lot of neighbors. You have written a lot of stories this summer. Tommy June, how many editions of the Northside News have you guys put together?
We have had 15 so far, and our 15th issue just came out today.
Wow. So I want you both to answer this question. So Tommy June, I'll let you go first. Can you tell me about one of the favorite stories that you've told in the newspaper this summer?
One of our favorite stories, I can't remember which issue it was, but it was out about Lulu Merle Johnson, about the renaming of Johnson County. And I thought that was really good. And we even sat in on a supervisor meeting for Iowa City.
Wow. So for people who don't know that story, Johnson County is named after a former vice president of the United States. And he was a slave owner and not a very popular vice president. And by today's standards, a lot of people are not very happy that Johnson County is named after him. So the move is not to change the name of Johnson County, but to name it after someone else with the last name Johnson. So Tommy June, tell me just a little bit more about that.
Yes. So Lulu Merle Johnson was the second woman in the state of Iowa to earn a PhD in history, I believe. And she's just a really inspiring person to a lot of people. And we figured that she could be one of the people that they consider to rename Johnson County after.
All right. So you're reporting some pretty big news in addition to maybe some neighborhood pet profiles. Joanna, what's one of your favorite stories?
I liked reading and writing about what our elementary school, Horse Mann, did during the 1918 flu pandemic. When they reopened from quarantine, they sold every kid a mask for a penny and tried to make the rooms well ventilated, and all the teachers were on the lookout for symptoms. I thought it was interesting because now everyone's wondering if schools will reopen from the pandemic now.
Yeah, that's a very relevant historical story in this moment. So I heard that this idea of starting a newspaper maybe started a long time before this pandemic. Joanna, I heard that you passed Tommy June a note in class in third grade. Can you tell me about that?
I asked her if she wanted to do news with me. I don't really remember it, but now we are, so...
So if there are other kids listening who think, oh, wow, I'd really like to do something like this for my neighborhood, it's clear that you guys have put a ton of work into this. Tommy, June, what advice would you have for other kids who might want to try this?
Just branch out. Some people, like, I'm not very good at talking to people besides emailing. Just branch out, go out of your comfort zone, and just really try and talk and engage with people around your neighborhood.
Joanna, what do you think you've learned from this?
That it's good just to ask people for things, because most people will answer and they're always glad to help you.
So people have been really nice and helpful. Do you think that you want to be a journalist when you grow up?
I'm not sure, but I really enjoyed writing and editing the news.
What do you think, Tommy June?
I really like the challenge of writing. Like, sometimes it just takes a long time to really get the right sentences or paragraphs. And I'd like to go into something in that area.
So you guys just put out the 15th edition of the Northside News. You're going to be going back to school in some capacity. We don't know yet what, on August 24th. Tommy June, do you think you guys will continue?
I think it might slowly dwindle down, but I hope we kind of maybe do it once a month or so to keep the community connected.
Well, Tommy June Simmons and Joanna Galuzzo, thank you both so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. Thank you for having me.
Tommy June Simmons and Joanna Galuzzo, creators of the Northside News, an online neighborhood newspaper for the north side of Iowa City. I tweeted out a link to their website. You can also see a picture of the note that Joanna wrote to Tommy June way back in third grade. You can go to @CharityNevy on Twitter. This is Talk of Iowa Summer Camp, and the topic today is journalism. We have a number of special guests stopping by this hour from the worlds of print, video, and podcasting. And our camp counselor today is Sarah Whitaker. She is the journalism teacher at Iowa City West High. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And of course, in this digital age, we have content coming at us from everywhere, on YouTube, on television, on Twitter, any kind of social media, TikTok. It's all over the place. I think we should start with defining what journalism is in that whole world of content. So it's a big question, Sarah, but what is journalism?
Wow, that is a big question. I always think of journalism as storytelling, and whatever way that you're going to do it, it's fine. It's evolved so much over the years that I've been a teacher, but it always comes down to some form of storytelling, whether that's podcasting or videos or writing, even design or photography, so many different ways to tell stories. And of course, verify information and help share other people's stories as well.
Well, and that's a little bit tricky. I think a lot of us really want to tell stories, but we want the stories to be exactly how we want them to be, right? So yeah. When you're a journalist, you don't actually get to control the facts in the story.
Absolutely. I know that's something we talk about a lot with, especially in the newspaper class that we teach, because so much has to be planned out ahead of time to meet our deadlines. And the students, I always remind them, we have lots of conversations about, you know, you're going to pitch a story and you're going to pitch a story idea, and you want it to, maybe you've done research, so you have an idea of where it could potentially go, but we don't want people to get stuck and think that they have the story all figured out, because otherwise, why are you writing the story, or why are you pursuing the story if you already know how it's going to end? And so you have to be open to letting the story kind of your sources help you and be willing to follow the story, the life of the story and where it goes, and not think you have it all figured out from the get-go.
All right. So you have to be willing to learn. You have to be a really good listener, it sounds like, to be a good journalist.
Absolutely.
Now, we heard, of course, Tommy June and Joanna, they started their own newspaper, which is a great way to get into journalism. Not all of us can do that. But if people are excited about storytelling, and we'll talk about some of the different ways you can tell stories through the hour, but how do you suggest they get started?
Okay, well, first of all, Tommy and Joanna are my new heroes. I can't wait to check out the Northside News. And 15 issues, holy crow.
I know,
that is
it's
so
awesome.
Impressive. I love that. And but yeah, I think some of the advice that they offer too about branching out and going out of your comfort zone, I think is such good advice no matter what age you are, is maybe going a little bit out of your comfort zone and deciding to talk to and interview people and realizing like a lot of people do want to talk and share their story and they want to help you. And that is, it can be really empowering. And my advice about, you know, getting involved would be to start writing or start pursuing stories in whatever way that you'd like to tell them and start publishing them. You could do it through a website. You could create a newspaper or newsletter and distribute it to free little libraries if you have those in your town. There's so many different ways that you could distribute the information. I think the exciting thing is to just get started right now and maybe find a friend, you know, like Tommy and Joanna did, someone who's like-minded who could kind of help you navigate those waters.
Absolutely. And of course, they also get to read each other's work. Is editing an important part of the journalistic process, Sarah?
Yes, I would say so, for sure. Editing is so important. And it's so helpful to get feedback from other people. I know on the West Side Story, which is the name of the newspaper and website at West High in Iowa City, we use Google Docs a lot for different stories and scripts and things like that. And everybody on staff has access to that, so they can all give feedback. And they give such good feedback. I always think, you know, I want to read and give them feedback. And then a lot of times I'll go and I'll see that student editors have already said exactly what I would have said or given the advice I would have said. So I feel like getting advice from your peers and getting that feedback in the editing process is so helpful.
I think that can be a scary part of the process. But once you embrace that feedback, it's really powerful and it makes you so much better. Sorry, just a little life lesson from me too there. And we're going to take a short break.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back in just a moment. With me today, Sarah Whitaker. She is our camp counselor for Talk of Iowa Journalism Camp today. She's the journalism teacher at Iowa City West High. And I did promise special guests throughout the hour. Coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from Ty Rushing. He's managing editor of the Northwest Iowa Review. We'll also hear from Cameron McCoy of Iowa PBS in a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa Summer Camp today, and we are exploring journalism. Now we're going to get some more tips about print journalism from Ty Rushing. He is managing editor of Northwest Iowa Review, based in Sheldon, in the heart of northwestern Iowa. Ty, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
Ty, let's start with you. Take us back in time. When did you decide you wanted to become a journalist?
Oh, man, it was kind of like something I ran from for a little bit. Like, I loved newspapers growing up. And, you know, I grew up with the Kansas City Star, and I wanted to be a sports writer, you know, and cover the Chiefs and Royals and work for the Star, like Joe Posnanski and Jason Whitlock. And, I did a yearbook in high school. I did newspaper at both colleges I went to. I kind of started, like, when I was, like, 19 or so, like, I finally embraced the calling, so to say. Although I, you know, wavered a couple of times, but yeah, I think it was a good decision. And so, yeah, I've been in newspapers professionally since 26.
What do you love about newspapers? Why do you think they're important?
Oh, man, newspapers are so great, especially like at the community level, because it's exactly what's in the, you know, what it is. Like, it covers the community, you know, like a newspaper from your birth announcement to your obituary and everything in between, it covers you from life to death. Like, and that's amazing to think that there's a document like out there and that, you know, highlights your, you know, your academic career, that shows your sports things, that has a cool feature about you, or there's a story about your grandma, or there's a story about someone you know, and it kind of ties everyone together. I mean, my boss, his wife is a teacher, our editor-in-chief, his wife's a teacher, and so they get invited to a lot of graduation parties, and one of his favorite things to do is to see, you know, kind of like plaster boards or like a little kind of like little tributes with all the different newspaper clippings of the graduate, you know, from their high school career and even beyond. And so that's like one of his favorite things to see is like, you know, because he'll see a sports photo and he's like, oh, yeah, we took that one. Or he'll see like, oh, this person got recognized for some academic excellence, or this person did a cool story or feature. And so like he loves seeing that. And I do, too. Like, I mean, it's so rewarding when you go into a business downtown or somewhere else and you see one of your articles hanging up.
You've experimented with telling stories in a few different ways. What do you like about telling stories in a newspaper?
Ooh, so when you tell a newspaper, because you get a little bit more, you get a little bit like more room to expand on a story, you know? Like you can really flesh it out and talk to other people and kind of give that well-rounded version of someone's story. And it's pretty neat, especially if you get like multiple sources in there to shine a little bit more light on the person's personality and their history, or like if they've overcome something, to kind of tell you about some of their low points, but then like watching them come through that. And so it's been pretty cool. And then like I love covering government meetings, which, you know, no one ever says, but and so with the newspaper, you know, you can give that background and like, you know, I can use a couple of paragraphs to explain why, how we got to this moment, how we built up to this, and why this decision that was made at last Wednesday's meeting was so pivotal because of everything that happened before.
I think that student journalists often struggle with trying to figure out what they should tell stories about. Do you have any tips for what makes a good local news story? How to pick what you want to explore and write about?
Well, that's the fun part of like, you know, kind of this level of journalism is that you can write about anything. And, you know, and so like I definitely like small town newspapers give you a chance to experiment with everything, because I thought I wanted to be a sports writer, and now I'm telling you that I love covering government meetings, which I never did that in college. And so, like, you know, the first time I had to cover a meeting was when I was in Newton with my first job, and they're like, hey, you cover school board. And I was like, what? And I had no idea how to write a school board story, where it's like, now I could write one in my sleep. And so I think you just got to go out there, like, try to find a general assignment gig and just experiment and find out what you love and find, you know, kind of find your niche area.
Can you tell me about a story that you ended up loving that you thought was going to be boring when you started out?
Pretty much almost anything ag related. Like, I'm from Kansas City and I'd never been on a farm until I moved to Iowa. And, you know, that was another thing they told me, and they're like, oh, hey, you're our ag reporter. And I was like, what? Like, I thought BU stood for bundles, and I didn't know it meant bushels. Like, that's how raw I was. And so, like, I love, you know, now I love those assignments. You know, I got a specific pair of boots that I wear to farm or construction assignments. Like, I love just hearing about the process, learning about where our food comes from, seeing how different operations are managed and, like, the different techniques they use. And then, you know, sometimes it's just fun to ride around on a gator with a farmer as they tell you about their, you know, their story.
Ty, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Like I said, I appreciate the opportunity.
Ty Rushing is managing editor of the Northwest Iowa Review. This is Journalism Camp on Talk of Iowa. With me, Sarah Whitaker. She's the journalism teacher at Iowa City West High. And Sarah, listening to Ty talk about falling in love with newspapers, I suspect that a lot of kids who come into your classroom have never actually held a newspaper before they get into your classroom. What do you recommend for kids who may be kind of excited about telling stories for them to explore journalism in the world today, because not everybody is exposed to everything?
Right. I mean, I think so. There are a lot of kids that haven't read like a local newspaper. They get excited, though, I think, when we put a West Side Story in their hands, if they've never picked one up before. There is something really, I think, empowering about holding a print edition, and especially, you know, seeing your name in print, I think, for the first time and multiple times after that is really empowering to a lot of students. And so I think it's just important to diversify how you get your information as a journalist, because we obviously need to be informed, but kind of looking to how maybe a newspaper could be more in depth and more feature stories. Whereas if you want to tell a timely story, maybe you want to pursue, you know, web journalism and social media, just kind of seeing the different ways that you can tell stories and how different publications might be better for those types of stories.
Well, and that's such an interesting thing to think about, how you can tell a story about the same topic on a different platform, and that story may have the same basic facts, but you tell it in a very different way. How do you help your students explore the different ways of telling essentially the same story?
Right. I mean, it's something that we talk about when we're going through story ideas and students are making their pitches of what they want to cover. We'll talk about, first they'll pitch it and kind of say what publication they see it fitting in, whether it's, you know, social media, online, or in print. But a lot of times if it's a really important story, we'll say, you know, we need to cover this in multiple ways. And so we'll talk about what do we need to know right away? What information do our readers need instantly? And how can we show that to them? And a lot of times, too, we'll think of maybe there's an interactive way or some sort of rich media or multimedia that we could incorporate online that we wouldn't be able to do in print. And so we'll think of, you know, does this story have audio? Does it have a visual? Do we need to put together a video? Is there someone else, maybe an expert, we could go in depth and have a podcast interview? So we'll kind of talk through a lot of hypotheticals and then start planning out. I think the more kids you have involved talking about it, the more excited they get to kind of collaborate and say, "Ooh, I like to make videos. I'll help with that part." Another person might say, "You know, I'm more comfortable writing a in-depth story and having a bigger feature piece." And it's just really exciting to see their enthusiasm and how contagious it can be when they collaborate.
And before we bring in our next guest, I want to talk about pitching because, you know, that's something that all journalists do. We say, OK, I want to write a story about this, but it's not that simple. You can say, I want to write a story about this, but you have to have more ideas that follow that. Right. So how do you develop an idea? If I say, hey, I want to write a story about the name of my county, how do you go farther? Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're always evolving and changing how we do pitches. We try it different ways all the time. And but usually what we come back to is we want people to think through the life of the idea, okay, a little bit before we have sort of like our formal pitch or story ideas when they're due. So they kind of go through and do some research, see what's been done before and how can we make it different? How can we localize it? Or maybe who do the students have access to that other people don't? As students, they have immediate access to a lot of, you know, maybe teenagers or other students and teachers, whereas like the professional press, it might be more difficult for them to have immediate access to some of those sources. So sometimes it will be kind of naming sources or thinking of people that way. And then sometimes, too, we'll have people, you know, find stories that kind of have the same feel or maybe the same look or something that they're going after, and they have that maybe as a professional source of inspiration. Like, this is kind of the feeling I'm going for. That can help when they're pitching it to other students, so other people can kind of envision maybe what people are thinking about when they're pitching their story.
And I want to mention that you have put together for your students and for us now a really terrific list of resources, free tools, and recommended reading for student journalists. We will link to that on our website later today so you can have access to all of these wonderful tools as well. And Sarah, stay with us. Sarah Whitaker is the journalism teacher at Iowa City West High. I want to bring into the conversation now a video producer. It is just possible that you have spent a lot of time this summer watching YouTube or maybe spent a little bit of time on TikTok. Of course, telling stories through video can be really powerful as a journalist. And Cameron McCoy is a video producer at Iowa PBS. Hello, Cameron.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And of course, many, many young people today have access to a pretty powerful camera in their pocket at all times. That is not how you grew up. That is certainly not how I grew up. But let's talk a little bit about the power of video. What makes video journalism so compelling?
I think it is the visuals, really. I mean, I think in today's world, like, we're so visually stimulated at all times that there's just real power behind the images that we see on screen, and that can then translate into a compelling story.
And as I mentioned, I mean, when we were kids, we had to get our hands on a camcorder and all kinds of interesting things. And now you can take video wherever you are, whatever you're doing. What should kids who are interested in video journalism think about before they start rolling that video? Is there a way to think about documenting an event or documenting a moment in time that you might be part of?
Yeah, I think being prepared as a video producer myself, that's like the first rule that I always have wherever, whenever I'm going out into the field, it's being prepared. That means having a list of questions, knowing what the subject matter I'm covering is and having a background within that. So I would say that's primarily the first thing that a video journalist should, you know, have as their number one thing in their toolbox.
All right, so they've already gone through that process that Sarah and I were just talking about of you decide what story you want to tell and you pitch that story or come up with a list of ideas for how you can tell that story before you dive in and start making video.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think you're going to have a good story otherwise if you're not, you know, prepared and dive in within that.
Let's talk about interviews. And Sarah, you can weigh in on this as well. But Cameron, of course, we want the voices of other people. We want other people's ideas in a video story, really in any story. How do you prepare for an interview?
It's through research. It's through contacting your subject. I mean, for the most part, I mean, like if you have like, you know, broadcast news, sometimes you're just going and you're, you know, getting an interview right off the street very, very quickly. But for some of that more in-depth reporting, it is being prepared. It is talking with your subject beforehand and really getting to know who they are so that you're both on the same page about the list of questions that you're going to be asking to get at the bottom of the story.
And Sarah and I were talking earlier about how even if you have an idea of how a story is going to go, or if you really want your sources to say what you think, you don't actually have control over that. But with a video story, if someone says something but it's hard to understand, is it okay to say, hey, could you restate that maybe a little more clearly?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, you never want to put words in your subject's mouth. But if they feel like they weren't clear or you feel like they weren't clear, you know, clarity is part of communication. I think it's very important that they restate that or that they're given that ability to clarify what they've said.
When you start recording on your phone, it can be pretty easy to think, hey, I'll make a video and I'll put this up on YouTube. I'm just going to record for 3 or 4 minutes and that'll be my video. Cameron, does more go into video production than that?
Oh, my goodness. I wish it was that easy. You know, everything from like whenever I tell students who come to Iowa PBS and tell them like how much footage we actually record and then how much actually appears on the video, the ratio is absurd. It's sometimes 10 to 1 where we're gathering so much, but we're cutting that all down into, you know, digestible bites to make a 4-minute feature.
When you tell stories through video, you've worked in radio too. I know you do some podcasting as well, but what is it about telling stories in video format that you love? What can you do in that way that you can't do any other way?
It's really creating space within the visuals that I love. It's an audiovisual thing, but you can bring in audio elements that help enrich the story. You can bring in just the visuals that will, you know, maybe shed light in a way that, well, I love print, but sometimes you just can't show through print. And so that's, I think, really at the end of the day, what gets me going as far as a video producer is just combining all these multiple elements to tell an engaging story.
One of the things that I find interesting about the app TikTok, and I'm not recommending TikTok, and I know it may be banned in the near future. So, but one of the things that I think is interesting about that, or even on Instagram, is there is a time limit for how long a video can be. Do you think that in some ways that really enhances creativity, Cameron, that maybe you're working within some limits that makes you do some creative things?
Absolutely. Limitations are, like, I think a key or something like a video editor needs in some ways. If you just had everything, it's impossible to just take that and put it all together. So limitations, I think, are great. And really, like TikTok or Instagram stories, and you have to create a 1-minute story. It's very similar to like a video journalist having to make a 1 minute lead. You know, they're using the same sort of constraints in order to tell their stories.
And most people with their phones, if they have a smartphone, they also have access to editing tools as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were to just buy an Android phone or an iPhone, I mean, the number of apps that are available to edit is pretty remarkable. I mean, just I can't imagine what it would have been like for me as a kid in the 90s having access to some of these tools. So I always tell kids that I'm super jealous of the tools they have available.
Well, Cameron McCoy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Charity.
Cameron McCoy is a video producer at Iowa PBS. And full disclosure, I do work with Cameron on the show Iowa Ingredient on Iowa PBS. Sarah Whitaker is still with us. We'll be back in just a moment to talk more about telling stories through journalism. This is Talk of Iowa Summer Camp. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Talk of Iowa Summer Camp, and the subject today is journalism. Coming up in just a moment, Kyle Munson is going to join us. He's a writer, journalist, and podcaster. And with us is our camp counselor, Sarah Whitaker. She is journalism teacher at Iowa City West High. You're welcome to join the conversation with your questions as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Sarah, Cameron and I were just talking about interviewing, and I promised that you'd get a chance to weigh in a little bit. I think that's another difficult thing for a lot of journalists just starting out. It takes some courage to ask questions, but also it can be challenging to come up with the right questions to ask. How do you guide your students when teaching them how to ask questions?
Yeah, I think absolutely, especially when you're first starting out, it's important to even just get comfortable interviewing someone else and being comfortable even with silence a little bit, because it does take people time to kind of think about their answers sometimes. And so sometimes maybe even starting with interviewing somebody that you're really comfortable with just to kind of practice can be a good skill at the beginning, or a good practice. I know that there's a StoryCorps app, and they have lots of really great questions to interview family members and things like that. And that can be a really nice way to kind of get your feet wet. Another thing, I think when you're interviewing, it feels good. It's kind of a security blanket to have a list of questions. We usually say, you know, try and write down 10 questions just so that you have them there, and you feel, you know, you do your research and you write questions based on, you know, maybe even as simple as, you know, the who, what, when, where, why, kind of answering some of those types of questions, trying to have open-ended questions so that they're not just one-word answers or yes or no. But then also being comfortable with follow-up questions. You know, if someone says something that you didn't expect that piques your interest, you want to be open-minded to the story and kind of follow that. And so feel free to ask those follow-up questions, or nudge people if they maybe aren't as willing to expound upon answers. You could always ask some of those follow-ups to get more specific examples as well.
So it sounds like, again, that brings us back to that idea that journalists need to be good listeners. I think sometimes we can get so nervous about our questions and trying to get through everything on our list that we forget to listen to the answers.
Yeah. I mean, a great interview sounds more like a conversation than, okay, back to my list of questions. I always just say, have the questions there to make you feel better, kind of as a sense of security, but really try to strive to have that natural, you know, conversation and be willing to follow it, the conversation, wherever it goes.
I grew up as someone who asked a lot of questions anyway. I was one of those kids. Mm-hmm. And I find that being a journalist is one of the best things in the world, because now I have license to ask questions and people will answer them. It's such a beautiful,
yeah,
beautiful thing. I always tell people that when I go to the state fair, I prefer to go to the state fair as a journalist than just as someone who visits the state fair, because then when I see something bizarre or fascinating fascinating. I get to say, hey, what's going on and why? Why do you do this? So it's a wonderful license to ask questions. I want to talk about podcasting now. That's a part of journalism that is growing dramatically. And of course, there are a lot of podcasts that aren't journalism at all, but it is a great way to tell journalistic stories. And Kyle Munson is here with us now. He is a writer, journalist, and content strategist. He lives in Slater, Iowa, works out of Des Moines, and he's involved with a number of different podcasts, including one called Journalists Are My Heroes. And you may remember him from many years at the Des Moines Register as well. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Charity. Great to be here at the summer camp. I don't even have to use bug spray for this camp.
Nope. And you probably won't get any nasty viruses from spending time with us over the phone either. Kyle, you have told stories in so many different ways over the years, and podcasting seems to be one that has really captured your imagination. Why do you like podcasting so much?
Well, I mean, you guys have touched on it throughout this great show. I mean, you were just talking about loving to interview people and that natural curiosity and that license to be nosy. So that's one of the things. Throughout my journalism career, I just love the interview, and that's a very common format for a podcast. And the other thing is, some of your guests have been talking about how when they were kids, just how they played around with journalism. And so I was playing around with my cassette tape recorder, recording, you know, what I thought were radio shows. And so the format of the voice and the conversational format has just always fascinated me, too.
With podcasts, I think there's a problem that a lot of people new to podcasting have, where they think that they can just start recording maybe a conversation with a friend, and that's going to turn into compelling audio. And maybe I'm a little hard on some podcasters, but I don't find that to be particularly compelling audio. So, Kyle, if you want to make a podcast, how do you get started?
Yeah, I mean, it's not about the format, right? I mean, good storytelling is good storytelling, and good reporting holds true across every format. So you just, what do you want to say with this proposed podcast? And who is your audience? Who do you want to hear it? You know, is it your classmates or is it your community? And what do you want to accomplish? So not that you know, not trying to say that you have to be a type A personality and you want this podcast to be number one on Apple, but it's just, is this something that you want to preserve for your family or your community? Or do you have is this going to tackle a particular issue and you want to see change like in your city? So you just have a really clear vision and then map out, what do the first 10 episodes look like? You know, what am I really thinking? Is it going to be 20 minutes an episode or an hour? So you really have to, as some of the conversation you've had here, you have to really think about shaping that and honing that idea, because then you can worry about, okay, the technical practical details.
So make a plan. Don't just try to improvise your way through it.
Yeah. And you can keep it simple. Like, you know, one of the podcasts I did, you mentioned the Journalists Are My Heroes podcast. I did a season of that, and that was interviews based, and in part to keep it simple and just to focus on one personality per episode and just really have a good conversation and dig into their life story. And over time, you kind of have you tell a larger tapestry of what local journalism means right now. There are ways that you can just keep it simple you know, you not have to spend, you know, like so much time developing like a complicated narrative that, you end with a cliffhanger on every episode or whatever it might be. Or you have to go out and record all this specific natural sound and spend a lot of time editing. So just, you know, be comfortable with the time you want to spend, but do spend the time on the idea first.
And right now we are having a live conversation on radio. So, of course, podcasting and radio share a whole lot of things in common. But most of the things that we hear on radio are not live. They have been edited. Sometimes they've been written and then edited. When you do podcasting, Kyle, do you edit what you record before you publish it?
Yes. Yeah. The tools today are just getting easier and easier to work with. So if you're just starting out, you could do everything from your phone, and you could use an app like, say, Anchor to record from your phone and even edit on your phone. But, you know, I typically you know, use some editing software on a laptop, and yeah, everything I do at least gets a light edit. You know, if the more you do it, the better you get at recording in such a way that you can reduce or minimize the editing. But good editing holds true whether you're writing or in audio, video, whatever. Good editing is also a necessary step.
And you mentioned getting people to listen to a podcast. That's one of the trickiest parts of podcasting. Do you have recommendations for people who might want to start a podcast about actually getting an audience?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, is that important to you? I mean, what do you want to accomplish? So if building an audience, you know, towards some goal, like I say, maybe it's some policy you want changed, or maybe it's some event that you're trying to promote, whatever it might be. Of course, there are so many social media tools now, but just think about how you're going to build that campaign. Who are some allies that can help you? I mean, if you're going to get really ambitious, are you going to do some paid sort of promotion? It's just something to think about, because you're right. Podcasting is booming in terms of numbers and some of the dollars flowing into it. But, you know, the vast majority have a very small audience. And then, you know, it's like the NBA, where a few of them make it. You know, but so I think that means that you have to just really enjoy doing it, and you have to have, you get something out of it, even if you only get, you know, a dozen listens to your first episode.
Kyle, how did you fall in love with journalism?
I think it's that you were talking about the license to be nosy, and I just love some of it. Again, was talked about in this episode where, number one, it's journalism tends to be the information that people don't necessarily want printed, but the public has a right to know. And then there's the other side of it, which is the storytelling, and especially the storytelling that knits a community together. And in this day and age, you know, a physical community in a lot of ways, which we're losing, because a lot of the media now, you know, are interest groups, and we're able to stitch those together across, you know, vast global distances. But we're really trying now, struggling to keep that storytelling that is rooted into a local place. And so those two things, you know, that sense of place and trying to do justice for your neighbors got me into it. And then just loving being nosy.
So Kyle and Sarah, I want to hear from both of you on this, but back when I fell in love with radio when I was in high school, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I have some very, very embarrassing recordings in my possession of my early days in radio. And I mean, Sarah, you're asking students to do all different kinds of projects, and they're brand new at this. That is a really vulnerable, kind of scary thing to do, because you're not just doing the project for your teacher, but other people are going to read it, see it, hear it. What kind of advice do you have for students about how to get started and how to be comfortable with not being great at what you're doing?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because it is really hard. And I think students are so brave to put themselves out there. I think a lot of students feel sort of comforted by the fact that a lot of times with journalism, they're interviewing other people and they are, you know, quoting other people. It's not just on them. It's not just their words and what they're saying. They're helping to piece together a story. I love that idea of being a license to be nosy. I think kind of trusting your gut and trusting yourself too, and saying, you know what, if I'm curious about this, I bet other people are. If I'm confused about this, I'm sure other people are too. And so sort of building up your confidence, I think, and realizing that you're not alone. You're not the only person wondering this or writing about this. And we're also a team here to help, you know, that's where editing comes in, to help produce content that you can be proud of.
Ira Glass, the host of This American Life, shares a lot of information about getting started in a creative project. And one of the pieces of advice that he gives to young people is a lot of what you do is going to suck right away. It's just going to be really bad, but you have to stay with it until it gets good. Kyle, do you have anything to add to that? Because, again, it's very vulnerable.
Yeah, and you get used to it. And maybe, you know, the newer generations, they're so used to being brands and being on social media that maybe it's a little bit easier in some cases. I always kind of like the baseball metaphor too. You know, you're going to step up to the plate, and you need, in journalism, you need to have a framework where you're on the diamond and you're in the rules of the game. And so you're always going to at least produce some kind of a product, even if you strike out, but you know, you have a reliable rhythm. You're not going to hit a home run every time. So journalism is a game of, you know, averages, and you hope to have a decent batting average, but always to, you know, at least do justice to the people that you're writing or telling stories for.
We are living in a moment, and we have about 2 minutes to talk about something big, but we're living in a moment where journalism is complicated. On one hand, there is a lot of vitriol that is spewed toward journalists from the White House and from many other places, criticism of inaccuracy in reporting. We have this growing field of journalism where there is a lot more journalism that comes from a particular point of view, as opposed to objective journalist, which is something that we might think about. And we also have a world where journalists are literally saving lives because they are bringing us the information that we need to make choices to be healthy. And just there's just so much to talk about here, Kyle, but and Sarah. So in 1 minute each, Kyle, why explore journalism right now? What do you think is important about journalism in this moment?
Yeah, boy. Yeah, you're right. It's a huge moment of disruption. I mean, journalism is probably investigating what it means to be objective more profoundly than it has in over a century. And of course, technology is the disruption. I mean, so I think the promise is, no matter what happens, we're at the cusp of something. And so if you're starting in journalism, you're going to be helping to build the new generation of it. And so I think that's exciting. So I think there's plenty of promise, even though, despite all the challenges that you're right. But we need good people to step up and fight for the industry.
Sarah, what do you think?
Yes, I think it's so important for journalists to verify information and to tell important stories. I think I'm always hopeful and inspired by my students, and I always have been. They're so curious and bright and passionate and hardworking, and they inspire me to be better, and all so many of our readers too. And it's just so important for people that have those qualities, that care that much and want to get this back straight. And it's so important for them to help share that story with a wider audience and go into journalism.
And there are a lot of really great, reliable sources out there. Sarah, in 30 seconds before we go, it's so important to know your sources. Is that something that you try to teach your students too? Because there are sites out there online that are peddling misinformation, but there are also really reputable journalistic sites as well.
Absolutely. I always use that old journalism adage that if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. And we always laugh about it. And I say, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your mother's love, but, you know, really to think about how important it is for us and everyone to really verify information and know how to find out if the information that we're saying is actual truth and being able to always verify it with at least another source.
Sarah Whitaker, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
And Kyle Munson, thank you.
Oh, thanks, Charity. Take care.
This has been Journalism Camp on Talk of Iowa.